On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. For decades and decades, America had the Three Stooges, and still do if you dig into cable. Moe, Larry, and Curly bonking and punching and slapping each other silly. The proletariat's avenging id, they've been called, lashing out at a bourgeois society. Now they're back on the big screen with Larry David as a nun, Sofia Vergara as an evil hottie, a sweet backstory. Sounds like a Farrelly Brothers movie, and it is. This hour on Point, we talk with director Peter Farrelly about the Farrelly Brothers Way and the Three Stooges. Here's a bit of the theme music to the original Three Stooges shorts. You can join the conversation this hour. Does it make sense to you that the makers of Dumb and Dumber would bring back the Three Stooges? Are you ready for this? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Here's the moment in the Farrelly Brothers film coming out today, The Three Stooges. Curly, Larry, and Moe are abandoned as babies on the doorstep of an orphanage run by nuns, including Larry David as a nun. Here the nuns discover the trio.
Good Lord. Mother Superior, come quickly!
Oh, my! Angels from heaven!
Oh, my God.
They're like the Holy Trinity.
I get to give them the first bottle.
Let me give them a bath.
Can they sleep in my room tonight?
Now, hold on, ladies. Everyone's going to get their turn.
Jane Lynch and Jennifer Hudson as nuns. Soon enough, Larry David shows up as the nun, Sister Mary Mengele. Oh, my Lord. Let's dial back just for a minute here to hear the old. Here in 1940, Stooges put out a movie piece of wartime propaganda called You Nasty Spy. The Stooges are set up as dictators of Moronia. Moe looks an awful lot like Hitler. Curly is a Mussolini lookalike. A peasant is brought before them accused of stealing a chicken.
Where did you get the chicken?
From an egg.
Where'd you get the egg?
From a chicken.
A vicious cycle. We must kill it. Remind me to kill a cycle.
Quiet. Put him in a concentrated camp. On second thought, throw him to the lions.
But we have no lions. How about the tigers or the cubs?
Or the giants.
Why have we no lions?
Because there's no bones in ice cream.
Boing, boing, nyak, nyak. That was then, 1940. The Three Stooges are back here from the Farrelly Brothers version. Catholic priest Monsignor Ratliff, played by Brian Doyle Murray, shows up, comes to the orphanage in the new Three Stooges movie. The Stooges, they're all grown up and making a pretty bad first impression.
Pick me, I'll clip your heads in.
I'll hedge your clippers.
I'll set your slippers.
You idiots! Oh, oof. I'm not here to adopt.
This is Monsignor Ratliff from the diocese.
Oh, sorry about that, Signor Ratlips.
Sorry, Signor Ratlips. Peter Farrelly joins me now from New York. Film director, screenwriter, producer, novelist, elder brother to Bobby and the Farrelly Brothers filmmaking duo. Their comedies include There's Something About Mary, Dumb and Dumber, Me, Myself, and Irene, Hall Pass, Shallow Hal, and a lot more. They co-directed the new Three Stooges and co-wrote it as well. The show opens around the country today. Peter Farrelly, welcome to On Point. Great to have you.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
Was it inevitable that the Farrelly Brothers pick up the Three Stooges?
I wouldn't say inevitable because it was very hard to get made. You know, there were a lot of studios that didn't understand how you could take these 80-year-old characters and put them in a modern setting and make it work. So it was tough, but we always did love the Stooges. I don't remember, like, people have asked me, do you remember when you fell for them? Mm-hmm. I really don't. They were always in my life ever since I was a young child.
It's really interesting. People, and I, ever since we said, well, let's talk to Peter Farrelly about the new movie, people really fall into different camps. And you have people who love the Three Stooges, and you have people who hate them, even did as a kid. Who likes them? Who hates them? What have you figured out, Peter?
You know, it's definitely one of those things you love or you hate. But, I suppose if you had to break it into groups, it would be guys love them and most women don't love them. However, one reason I think people or women, whoever don't like them, one reason is I think because the shorts were 18 minutes long and they had no arc. That was just a flat line, hit, end. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in a movie, we're able to have an arc. We have a beginning, a middle, and an end. We have a lot of heart. We have a story that has turns and twists. So we've used the same characters, but we've written all new material. And I think we've updated it appropriately in a way that I think, you know, in fact, I know because we've done test screenings. A lot of people who didn't expect to like it are loving it. And because it's more of a story. It's a better story.
Tell us a little bit, if you can, about the plot that you've woven under this. Now, you guys yourselves, Bobby especially, has spoken very colorfully and derisively about the need for a plot. But you've got one here. Tell us a little about it. And how does Larry David fit in? How does Sofia Vergara fit in? How does Snooki and Jersey Shore fit in?
Well, first of all, let me say, you know, when Bobby talks, you know, he just joked about plot, saying, you know, yeah, it's unnecessary. But he does it in a way because it's a hard thing to explain. It's like if I always tell people have been asking me because we're talking about doing Dumb and Dumber 2. Mm. But people have said, well, what's the story? I said, you know, it doesn't matter. If I told you before the first Dumb and Dumber came out what the story of that was, two guys go to, you know, Aspen because they're in love with a girl, you'd say, yeah, that's awful. Don't make it.
Right.
And it's sort of that's how he is. But our plots are actually extremely important. You know, the main thing for us is to develop characters that we or hopefully the audience really likes. And once we do that, then we can hang our kind of humor on those characters. But you got to like them. And if you don't like them, we're in big trouble. Larry David, Jane Lynch.
Two nuns. Sophie she's Vergara. Mother Superior. Larry David, a very fierce Sister Mary Mengele. Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh.
And Sophia, and, sort of the evil one here, Vergara.
Yeah. Yeah, she's the bad girl. And but it's, you know, it's a PG movie, so nothing's that bad.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
we have a lot of hitting in this movie. Obviously, it's the Three Stooges, but there's no blood, there's no guts, there's no swearing, there's no nudity, no drugs, no nothing. And you know, I've had a couple people say, "How come this is PG? There's so much hitting." I'm like, "Oh, you mean so you want it to be PG-13 like The Hunger Games?"
Yeah. Oh, ouch. You do explain with your storyline, or begin to explain why Mo, the boss and the angriest, why Mo is so angry. Share that with us.
Yeah, well, it's important to us, again, to set up a story where you understand them a little better than you did just watching the shorts. And in this one, when they're children, 10-year-old kids, they're growing up in an orphanage. They want to be adopted. And one day, Mo's ticket comes up, and he gets adopted by a very wealthy family, and they take him away in a Rolls Royce or a Bentley or one of those, and they're, yeah, they're going to the mansion. And on the way, you know, they ask him what he would like. And he says, well, actually, you know, can you go back and get my friends, Larry and Curly? And he implores them, mm-hmm, you know, why good
rich
reasons
couple
to go back.
To go back, yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to cost you anything. I'll share my food with them. I'll, mm-hmm, share my bed. They don't care about education. They don't like reading and numbers. All they want to do, their dream is to be ditch diggers. So you don't, yeah, have to worry about
right,
fancy schools.
Right.
And anyway, they decide that he is probably right. He shouldn't be separated from the boys. But instead of going back and getting them, they drop him off and take another kid.
Yeah.
And that's where Mo's anger sort of begins.
And so he's stuck with them forever, and none of them go off to the mansion, though that comes back
exactly
in your story. Sean Hayes plays Larry, Will Sasso, Curly, Chris Dimitopoulos plays Mo. Here's a little bit of scene from the new Three Stooges movie. Out today, the trio managed to dislodge the church bell, or the chapel bell, from the orphanage steeple, and Sister Mary Mengele, played by Larry David in full habit, pays the price.
Hey, quit horsing around, you two. You're disturbing my coffee break.
Oh, boy, donuts! Where's mine?
They're small. Why don't you have two?
Okay. Oh, now look what you did, Mo! You got donuts stuck in my ears!
Hey, you're in luck. I got a donut remover right here.
What's a donut remover?
It's one of these. Donut remover.
Huh, what are the odds of that?
Hey, Mugwumps! Mother Superior's looking for you!
Yeah, let me get him. Uh-oh. Is that Sister Mary Mengele?
I don't know, but the face rings a bell.
Oh, boy, and there you go. Peter, in less than a minute, we've got all the sound effects. You bring it all back. I mean, you're very careful here from the crazy head of hair to the pudding bowl haircut to the bald guy to the antics, the sound. You brought all that back. These actors have a lot of work to do to recreate all the Three Stooges shtick.
Well, it was the hardest movie we ever cast because of that, because we didn't want somebody to come in and do their version of Moe or Larry, like in a Batman movie. Mm-hmm. We wanted them to be specifically Moe, Larry, and Curly, and have all the mannerisms, all the look, that we were going to dress them the same. You know, they were going to look the same, talk the same, act the same. And, of course, we used the exact same sound effects from the originals. But, yeah, it was a lot to bite off for these actors. But, luckily, we looked at a lot of actors, and these three guys were the best. They're brilliant.
You first went after Russell Crowe to play the angry Moe. What were you looking for in Moe?
You know, we went to great actors because we mm-hmm. knew this was going to be a tough one to do. And Russell Crowe's one of our best actors. Is, you know, all the guys we went after Tom Hanks. We went after Sean Penn and Benicio del Toro, Jim Carrey, everybody.
Yeah.
And one reason we went after him is because we couldn't get the movie made without a big star. A lot of the studios said, you get big stars, you know, we'll make it. Otherwise, this is going to be a tough one. That's why we went after them all. But again, it was tough when we tell them, no, you have to be exactly Moe, Larry, and Curly. And that kind of turned a lot of them off.
To have to recreate so precisely all those antics, and you've got hammers and ladders crashing and anvils and chainsaws and the whole works here. So much so that at the end of the movie, you've got a couple actors standing in for you and Bobby, speaking directly to kids and saying, don't try this at home.
Yeah, well, we didn't, you know, we wanted, because there is the hitting with the hammers and stuff like that, we didn't want kids running off doing that, so we did have a little disclaimer, but we thought if we printed something up, kids wouldn't read it, so we decided to act it out and really get, you know, send the message home.
Peter Farrelly, please stand by. There, New York, of the Farrelly Brothers. Their Three Stooges is out today. Listeners, you can join us. Were you, are you a Three Stooges fan or not? And does it make sense that the Farrelly Brothers would bring them back? The makers of Dumb and Dumber and Something About Mary. Are they a natural fit? 800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Farrelly Brothers and the Three Stooges. They've brought back Moe, Larry, and Curly. Peter Farrelly is with us. We're looking at movie humor and the Farrelly treatment, this time on a classic. Love it or not, they've been around a long, long time. The Three Stooges, Moe, Larry, and Curly. What's the draw there? You can join us this hour. Are we still up for all that poking and slapping, eye gouging and hammering? What's your question for Peter Farrelly? Do you like the Farrelly Brothers when they go Dumb and Dumber? Do you like them when they go a little romantic? They've done both. 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Peter Farrelly joins us from New York. The movie's out today. And Peter here was very recently a rather well-known guy in politics, Mitt Romney, saying that he does have a sense of humor. He lives to laugh. And what is he like? Here he is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I live for laughter. I mean, I used to watch Laurel and Hardy, The Three Stooges, you know, even the Keystone Cops.
Mitt Romney and The Three Stooges. I don't know, Peter. Was he the audience you had in mind?
Yeah. You know, I'm telling you the truth. This is a rare movie in that, you know, there aren't many movies today that are really for everybody that are live action. Most of movies for kids today are animated or stop action or something like mm-hmm. that. And to have a live action comedy that is for children, teenagers, 20-somethings, and grown-ups is rare. So, yes, it is for him. It's for everybody.
You know, it's funny. I was in that camp that was not a Three Stooges fan as a kid. I had plenty of friends who were. It just wasn't my thing. So I went to the show the other night for the press saying, oh, no. Now, it's an unusual movie, and you guys, there's this kind of fresh, all-over-the-placeness to it. But, you know, these were jaded journalists watching your film, and they were laughing like crazy, even at the bonking stuff. There was something in there about down-and-out kids trying to deal with a hard-knocks life by turning on one another a little bit. And there was weirdly a kind of humanity in all that punching and gouging.
Well, you know, this movie when The Stooges came out in the 30s, it was during the Great Depression, and they really were, you know, the blue-collar, out-of-work guys trying to just get by. And now we're in the Great Recession, and, you know, things are tough out there. I mean, for everybody. And we did think that it is funny that they would come back right now, because it's 85 minutes of forgetting your problems and just having a bunch of giggles. And, And there is and feeling a bit of humanity and a little love. There's a lot of love in the Stooges. Beneath it all, the Three Stooges loved each other. And that comes across, I think.
You mentioned their shorts. They did almost 200 of these back in the days when a short movie would run before the feature. And they cranked them out and out and out. The originals came off of vaudeville and into Hollywood. Let's listen to a couple of the old and something from the new. Here's 1934, the Three Stooges episode Men in Black. The trio then attempt to conduct surgery on an unlucky patient. In the confusion, we hear Curly's signature, whoop, whoop.
Calling Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard. Shut up yourself.
And off go the Three Stooges. Here's 1935. Restless Nights. Moe and Larry place bets on a wrestling match.
I'll bet on the little guy. How much? 3,000 guineas, 2 geese, and a duck. That's a foul bet. Throw in a chicken, I'll take half of it.
There's a foul bet. They couldn't quit with the puns. And here in the Farrelly Brothers' new film, Larry, Moe, and Curly are at a classy garden party. Whoever thought it was a good idea to invite them. And the Stooges end up getting roughed up by a live lobster.
What are you grubworms doing?
Getting seconds on lobster.
Seconds? Mm-hmm. I thought lobster upset your stomach.
I dipped it in Pesto Bismol.
Oh, you like dipping, eh?
Yeah. Come here.
It's Sandy Claus. Claus.
What did I tell you about puns? What are you trying to get us thrown out of here?
I'll fix you.
No. Where's the dignity?
The Three Stooges with what is it, Larry or Curly's High C? There, Peter Farrelly joins us of the Farrelly Brothers. Joins us from New York. Peter, we've got a lot of callers for you, if I may. Linda in Norwood, Massachusetts. Linda, you're on the air with Peter Farrelly.
Hi, hey, Peter.
Linda.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
How you doing?
I just wanted to tell you, talk about one of the best days of the year for me. Not only do I get to go see, it's like a doubleheader. I get to go see the Red Sox opening day, but I'm so excited to go and see the movie, the new Three Stooges movie.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess it's like reliving part of my childhood, I guess, in the sense that I didn't miss one episode of them. And I truly believe that the humor, if more people were open to the Farrelly Brothers humor, which there's quite a bit, but I think sometimes you get some controversy, but I believe that if more people opened up to your creativity and the humor that you bring out to everyone, I think everyone would be a much happier person in this world.
Hey, Linda,
and, I just think you guys are great, and I look so forward to all your movies that you come out with, and I've seen you even up close. Like, I go to Mashpee, I have a house in Mashpee, and I've seen you guys, and you're just so great to be open to everyone, and just very thankful, and we thank you. So I really appreciate it.
Hey, Linda,
wow, that's very sweet, wait. Linda.
That's
I
great.
Appreciate that.
That's great. Real New England guys, proud Rhode Island natives, and often have shot films here, and you like the Farrelly treatment. But what about Three Stooges, Linda? I mean, what about people who say, oh, my gosh, it's just, you know, bing, bang, bong, pounding the head with a hammer? What's in it for you, Linda?
Well, I mean, just even listening to these clips, I mean, I know people were looking. I mean, I was really laughing because I think it's like you said, just there's enough stuff going on in the world that is so much worse, please. And so you get a slap. I mean, I might get a little slap on the bum or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's kind of an endearing love. That was my different ways of family or friends showing you that they love you. And you know, I think people really go a little bit overboard because, let's face it, even some of the kids' Avenger movies and, geez, it's a shame that Star Wars movie, you know, it was, even though there are kids 6 or 7 years old that might get into, be into Star Wars, there's a lot of scenes that just aren't appropriate.
Well, yeah. we got a chainsaw to the head of Curly here, but we hear your Farrelly Brothers love, and let me hold it right there, Linda, and I appreciate that. Peter, let me get one more. Columbia, South Carolina, and Gene, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I am a major fan of Tom. I'm a major fan of On Point, and I'm always fascinated that you can talk with the widest variety of people about the widest variety of topics.
Right on. That's the joy of life, huh?
That's right. That being said, I'm in the not camp. Sorry.
What? When it comes to Three Stooges, not your thing?
Yes. Never has been my thing. And it's interesting, you talk about how it came out in the Depression and now it's coming out in the Great Recession. And that's the counterpoint to the troubles that we're going through, is to be violent with each other. I don't get it.
It's not true violence. It's cartoon violence. There's really nobody ever gets hurt. There's no repercussions. Nobody bleeds. It's fun. If you ban the Stooges or you're against the Stooges, then you're against cartoons, because it's the exact same thing. And in this story, this movie, there's so much love and heart in it. If you gave it a chance, you'd realize people jump on the violence thing, but it's not remotely violent. Nobody ever gets hurt in a Three Stooges movie.
Well, I'm not remotely violent. They don't get hurt. That's true, but that's kind of amazing. I mean, you got a chainsaw right to the middle of Curly's forehead. I mean, you have to say there is. I mean, there really is violence. It's just nobody gets hurt, you're right. There's
violence.
Love. It's cartoonish. That's absolutely for sure. Let me get one more, and we'll bring it back. This is David in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Thanks, Gene. David, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Interesting that Linda is pro and Gene was not.
Yeah.
And that was my question. I think that there's a strong gender discrepancy between who likes the Three Stooges and who doesn't. I'm 61. I grew up watching all of these, even though these bottom were done in the 30s and 40s.
Oh, David, you're breaking up on us there. It's true. You point out we got Linda and Gene right across the gender line here, which is interesting. Though, as Peter Farrelly says, it may line up kind of gender-wise, kind of. I'm not sure. Peter Farrelly, let me bring a third party in here. Dennis Lim is with us. He writes for the New York Times, teaches criticism at New York University School of Journalism. He's been writing about you guys and this film, and we're really happy to have him. Dennis Lim, say hi to Peter Farrelly. Welcome.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Peter. Happy to be here.
Hey, Dennis. How you been?
Good. How are you, Peter?
Good, thanks.
So, Dennis, Peter's talking about love and heart in a Three Stooges movie, and some listeners will have difficulty getting their head around that. Did you see it?
I did. I mean, just to pick up on the points that the caller has made, there's a famous Jerry Lewis quote, which I think applies here. He said that the premise of all comedy is a man in trouble. I think you could even modify that and say a man in pain. Cruelty has always been a big part of comedy, and I think we're often laughing at someone's misfortune or someone's pain, but it's also double-edged. We laugh at their pain, but we also feel it. So it's not just cruelty, but also empathy, and I think that's an effect that Peter and Bobby have really developed and have exploited with great skill and imagination in their films.
And what about in Three Stooges, where there's cruelty, but it comes off somehow between these three, Mo, Larry, Curly, comes off as an expression of love, and it's way more than the swat on the rump that our caller Linda talked about.
Yeah, I think Peter's point, of that it's cartoon violence, I think that's exactly what's in operation here. If you were watching the Three Stooges shorts, there was this, they were in a sense invincible. There was all this hitting and being hit, they would bounce right back. And in a sense, the film really, the shorts, and I think the film really picks up on this. The appeal of the Stooges really is about their resilience, as much as anything else.
You write about how much of their stuff goes after the upper crust. That political readings of the Stooges have positioned them as the proletariats avenging id, lashing out at bourgeois society. But the Farrellys, you write, in general, are not really into anger. So where's the anger go in this version of the Three Stooges?
Yeah, I don't think I wouldn't call Peter and Bobby angry filmmakers, but I think where it really lines up here is that they've always made films in which they're very sympathetic towards the underdog. The films in just about all their films are really about the plight of the underdog, and the Stooges were the ultimate underdogs. On screen they were called the Stooges with good reason, and off screen I think fans would argue, and you've made this point as well, that they never really got their due, compared to other legends of screen comedy like, Chaplin or Keaton or the Marx Brothers, where there was often, more sophistication. The gags would work on multiple levels, and there would be an absurdist humor that might have more of a highbrow appeal. But with the Stooges, I think if you're a fan, it's really the brute simplicity of the comedy. Even though there's very complicated physical choreography involved, it's something very primal and very simple.
Peter Farrelly, if I may, let me share with you how Dennis Lim talks about your humor, the Farrelly Brothers brand, with you, Peter, you, and Bobby. He says the basic components of Farrelly humor: absurdist raunch, compensatory sentimentality, an unmistakably male point of view. Dennis Lim writes, have become commonplace in a comedy landscape ruled by Judd Apatow and Todd Phillips, but none of their successors, your successors, Peter, he says, have matched the boldness or generosity of the Farrellys at their best. What about that formula? Do you feel it? Absurdist raunch, compensatory sentimentality, male point of view? Is that your recipe, Mr. Farrelly?
I agree with everything Dennis says.
no doubt.
I think that, honestly, the first thing that goes into our movies, really, and the thing that if a movie of ours works is because you really care about the characters. It's got heart. And we can't do our kind of comedy without that heart, and we never tried to. Although, you know, sometimes we failed at it. They haven't always worked. But our best comedies have humor and heart, and it allows you to go along for a ride and root for people who you wouldn't normally root for, I think.
Dennis, if you'd be kind enough, describe Larry David's role in this film, and it's pretty funny. He brings that trademark Larry David ferocity to Sister Mary Mengele. That's something.
I think that says it all. Larry David as Sister Mary Mengele. That in itself.
Man, when he bares those teeth, if you're a Three Stooge, you want to run.
Yeah, he's great in it. Peter, were you considering Larry as one of the Stooges?
Yes, we were. You know, we've known Larry for years, and so, you know, I a lot of people don't realize, but Larry started out on the show Fridays, which was a response to the SNL when it started. There was a show Fridays that was trying to do what Saturday Night Live was mm-hmm. doing, and he was one of the cast members. And back then, he used to do Larry fine, and he's one of the only people on the planet who can do it. So we were always bugging him to do it, but it wasn't for him. But then we wanted to get him in the movie because, you know, Larry David is arguably the most influential comedic figure of the last 25 years worldwide. He has changed the face of television in all countries and now has changed cable. So to have him in your movie really classes it up, to say the least.
Hey, Dennis Lim, you write that as the Farrelly brothers see it, the capacity to, you write, experience pain, misery, and humiliation is an endless and unifying source of both humor and poignancy. Tell us more. How far does that go? Can you tap that well forever? Is it because pain's part of the human condition, Demis?
I think it is. And I think the key is that it's not just humor. It's not just humor at someone's expense. I think the poignancy part of the equation, you know, the pathos, is something that I don't think the Farrellys ever lose sight of in their film.
You think the old Three Stooges would recognize themselves in the new? What's evolved or changed in the new depiction of the Three Stooges here, Dennis Lim?
I think what is interesting about the new film is that, you know, it's a film that is, you know, I have to say I'm not a Stoogeologist. And I'm not really a huge Stooge fan. But I do think it's a film that is true to the spirit of the Stooges. But it's also a film that really very much bears the Farrelly's signature. And I think, you know, a lot of it had to do with what Peter was saying, just like expanding these Stooges shorts, which is these freestanding little episodes, and stringing it into a narrative, creating a backstory. I don't want to give too much away, but I think, you know, fans of Peter and Bobby's films will recognize gags and set pieces that are very Farrelly-esque. And in terms of what's changed, well, obviously, the topical twist here is the Jersey Shore factor. As you might have seen in trailers, Mo ends up on Jersey Shore. We don't want to say too much about that, but I think part of the that's also a great joke in itself. I think there are a lot of people who would, you know, enjoy this all this pain that is inflicted on the cast of Jersey Shore.
And that Farrelly Brothers signature, what, a little sweeter than the original?
Yeah, definitely. I would say that, you know, as we talked about this a little earlier, the anger was, I think, the Stooges shorts seemed a little angrier to me, but there's definitely a sweetness, a kind of resolution at the end of the film that I don't think happens often at the end of a Stooges short, where it's more likely to end in sort of, you know, chaos. And
yeah. Dennis Lim with the New York University writes for the New York Times. Dennis, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Peter Farrelly, stand by. We're talking about the Three Stooges. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Farrelly brothers and the Three Stooges. They've brought back Mo, Larry, and Curly. Peter Farrelly is with us. We're looking at movie humor and the Farrelly treatment. Peter Farrelly joins us from New York. The movie is out today, and you can join the conversation. Do you like the Farrelly brothers when they go Dumb and Dumber? Do you like them when they go a little romantic? Do they make you laugh even when you don't want to, when you're shaking your head? What was it about Mary? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Peter Farrelly, we've got all kinds of response here online. It's interesting. Trudy says, my parents were deaf. I think one reason they enjoyed The Stooges so much was in those TV shorts were the only shows we could all watch together and enjoy, no interpretation required. Judy says, never liked The Stooges, but love the Farrellys. Kingpin, pure genius. Chris, not so happy. You know, doesn't want any more redos. Complete bankruptcy of Hollywood. Hey, this worked. Let's do it again. Don't forget to throw in some potty humor. Paul wants to know why you didn't shoot the Three Stooges in New England like most of your movies. You guys are Rhode Island boys. What about this one? You have shot a lot in New England.
Yes, we have. We like shooting in New England just because we like being home and seeing our friends, and we have a good crew up there. However, this movie was supposed to start in February. And so we couldn't count on the weather, so we went down to Atlanta where we had shot Hall Pass and had an incredible experience. So we went back there. As it turned out, it got pushed a little, but we were already locked in there. You know, the guy, somebody, I'm sorry, I forgot his name, who mentioned, you know, bankrupt Hollywood.
Remakes, redos, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. The reason we did this... one reason we did it is because we love the Stooges. The Stooges have brought us, and I know it's not for everybody, but it is for us. The Stooges have brought my brother and I more laughs than anybody, any comedy group in the world, with the possible exception of Don Knotts in Andy Griffith. That show killed us. But anyway, the Stooges were going away. You know, I have small children, and half their friends do not know the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
And to us, that was criminal. We wanted to bring them back. We want their legacy to continue. We want to introduce them to future generations because they're important, and they deserve to be around.
Why are they important? Why?
Because of the joy they brought people in their lives and after their lives. You know, comedy is a very difficult thing to do, and these guys did it just spectacularly and brought many, many laughs to many people who needed laughs at that time. And we owe the Stooges something. And on top of that, the Stooges were never given, you know, as Dennis was saying, the Class A treatment they deserved. They were never Laurel and Hardy or Abbott and Costello or the Marx Brothers. They were a notch below. Considered a notch below. They never, you know, they were never given the glory, and it saddens me because to me, they're funnier than all those guys. Not taking anything away from those guys, but to us, the Stooges are the guys.
Elaine writes on Facebook to us, I watched them as a kid and hated them, especially Mo. Then Catherine writes, we love the Stooges because they were the underdogs, all caps, who outwitted the wealthy, the authoritarian bosses, the well-educated. As siblings, we identified with the Stooges' individual personalities, pecking order, and their loyalty to each other. The theme song still brings a big smile to my face. Did you feel yourself making the underdog movie here? It did kind of feel like it, Peter.
I'm sorry, can you...
The underdogs, she says.
Underdogs, and the whole project was an underdog deal. It was very, very hard to get this thing made, that's who the Stooges are. They're the guys who know less than everybody else and don't have the breaks that other people have gotten and have to get by on wit and luck.
These are not the wise guys of Wall Street making out like bandits in a globalized world. They're sort of the ones who take all the hard knocks and just have to live with it one way or the other. George in Zuni, Virginia is calling. Hi, George. You're on the air with Peter Farrelly.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, George.
How you doing, George?
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Very well, George. What's your story?
Yeah. Well,
I recently retired, well, at least within the past 2 years, retired from the fire department. And it was a common practice for a lot of the guys that we had at the station to sit around in the rec room and on a regular basis watch the Three Stooges, myself and Mike Grant and Doug Hughes and a fellow named Skinny. And we would sit around and park your feet up and watch, and everybody would be rolling with laughter and stuff. We found that the Stooges were always a comic relief, a real stress reliever, you know.
And they're nice and short, sort of 15-minute short, so you're always ready to go out and fight a fire. And I guess you're physically amped up because you're watching them do all those crazy stunts.
Well, yeah, and we find ourselves, you'll see people that you get on the scenes and different fire scenes you get at, and somebody else will be out there trying to pull a piece of fire hose and to help you, and they'll slip and fall down, and we'll have one of the guys go, whip, 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 you know, and it just kind of makes you pick up and keep right on going, keeps you pumped up. So,
George, you're living the dream. You were living the dream, and I appreciate you sharing that. Thanks a lot. Let me get one from
George.
Yeah. Kentucky.
You know,
Peter. I'm sorry.
I don't want to lose to Kentucky. Why don't we do them?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, Elizabeth in Lexington, Kentucky. Elizabeth, you're on with Peter Farrelly.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I was calling for just a couple of points. One is that I absolutely love the Stooges. That lighthearted goofiness is really intergenerational. I used to watch it with my grandpa and with my dad. And my sisters and I used to get in trouble for acting out scenes from the movies.
Did you get hurt?
Most of the time, no. Occasionally, we had to be careful because I'm older. My hands were a little bit bigger, so when you go for the eyes, you have to make sure that the little one's hands are big enough to stop your fingers. But once we figured that out, it was all fine. Nobody ever got seriously hurt. But I also think the loyalty that other people have mentioned and the love is really important, because they wouldn't have taken that from anybody else, and that's the way it is in a family.
Yeah, you come back to that, and that is really true. And Peter, you guys make it clear, but they're whacking the bejesus out of one another, and yet Elizabeth points to it. There's a loyalty there beneath all that rough and tumble.
Yes, there is. There always is. And to talk the fireman's comment, which I loved, is something I do all the time. You know, life's tough. It's, you know, no matter what you do in life, it's tough. You know, it's a tough life, but life's also good. And sometimes when life gets complicated, you forget how good it can be. And sometimes if I do get overwhelmed, I'll flip in an old Stooge or an old Andy Griffith episode. And you just sit back and you realize that, you know, it's really can be quite, you forget your problems. You forget all the little dumb things that are weighing you down. And you can just sit back and enjoy and realize that life's awesome. Life is great. And move on with your day.
It's funny that those were your two biggies. I mean, Andy Griffith, Andy of Mayberry, so sweet and apple pie compared to the Three Stooges. Let's bonk each other in the head with hammers.
Yeah, but Andy Griffith, the thing that we loved is every time you watched an Andy Griffith episode, particularly the black and white episodes 60 to 64 or 5, you were always going to get a laugh, and you were always going to feel a little something. Like, they had heart. Andy, Andy was God. Andy was Jesus,
yeah,
you know,
and
and Barney was the rest of us who messed up, and Andy would fix things for him.
Yeah.
And it was just so satisfying and comforting to be in that town of Mayberry. And to this day, you know, if I'm overwhelmed, I flip in two or three Andys and I'm back to myself.
Two or three Andys and off to the races. Nancy in Boston, thanks for calling. You're on the air with Peter Farrelly.
Hi.
Hi.
Good day.
Hi.
Hey, Nancy.
I just have a comment. My three children are in, 50 and then and almost there. I didn't let them watch the Stooges when they were young. I feel strongly that even today, with all the bullying that's happening around our schools and around our towns, that kids don't know the difference between acting and nobody getting hurt and the real hammer gonk on the head.
Well, it's at the end of the movie, Nancy, we were worried about that some kids would see this, and particularly young kids, and think, oh, it's funny to hit somebody with a hammer. So we actually have, as soon as the movie ends, we had a couple actors pretend they were my brother and myself, and they come out and they explain, hey, kids, by the way, you realize these are rubber hammers, and they show how the hammers bend and how we put in the sound effects. And in fact, the eye pokes, they don't really go to the eyes. They go to the forehead, and we did it in slow motion, and we said, look, you don't go home and do this stuff. This is just, you know, pros doing it, and we did it for fun, but, you don't hurt anybody.
Would that satisfy you, Mother Nancy, that postscript?
Loved your movie, What About Mary, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I think of it every once in a while, and it gives me a good chuckle.
Yeah, me too. Nancy, thanks very much for that. And one more, if I may, Lisa in Boston. You're on with Peter Farrelly.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
And Peter.
How are you?
Well, I used to live next door to Mo and his wife, Helen.
Mo Howard?
And
the original Mo? Seriously? Wow.
Mo Howard.
Where?
Wow.
It was in Hollywood, California. And so lived next door to them. And I just have to say that Mo Howard was absolutely devoted to his wife, Helen. And I grew up watching them as well. And, you know, it was really painful to watch those episodes. I mean, it just hurt to watch them. But he was absolutely resembled nothing like that in real life. And I appreciate it more and more as I get older, just how special he was to our culture and how beautiful their relationship was. I think they were married for like 60 years or something.
So you saw the real Mo Howard with his wife, Helen. Did he have the pudding bowl haircut when he wasn't in on screen for the Three Stooges, Lisa?
Remember, he did. He had a full head of hair, although I think it was fairly white by that time.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of memorabilia. But the other thing about it was, I think they were filming maybe their last effort. The three of them were trying to film something in their house. And I remember I was out there on a wall and I was just watching these old geezers like do this slapstick stuff, trying to get into a van or something.
Yeah.
And one of the production folks said, hey, yo, kid, get out of the way.
Yeah.
And Mo said, ah, let us stay there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, somewhere on some film, I'm
Lisa,
12-year-old
was
in the background watching Lisa, these guys fall into a van.
Was this in Toluca Lake?
No. This was actually, the road was Skylark Lane.
Oh, okay.
And it was up in the hills. And,
yeah.
And I have to say also that I'm going to let my son know that I called into you guys because this is the claim to fame for my 13-year-old was that I lived next to Mo Howard.
Mom talked to Peter Farrelly and lived next to Mo Howard. It's amazing what you got to see there. I mean, Peter, they made these films for years and years and years.
Yeah. And by the way, Mo was a great man. Mo Howard did great things for his friends. You know, Curly and Larry, his brother Curly and Larry. Those guys were a little wilder. They were great guys, but they had their flaws, you know, their excesses. And Mo always took care of them. He made sure that they showed up at the right place. He made sure they got paid. He made sure their bills got paid. He really acted as a big brother for everybody involved in the Stooge family.
Lisa, thanks so much for that account of being there while they were still at it. Bill in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, you're on with Peter Farrelly.
Yeah, hi, Tom Peter. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
Hey, Bill.
I wanted to share a memory. Back in the 70s, I was a counselor at a camp for mildly retarded, autistic, brain-injured, brain-damaged kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the one common denominator, we'd show the same Three Stooges short from the mid-50s. It was called Blunder Boys. They were parodying the Dragnet films, and, you know, it broke all kinds of barriers. You know, the kids were acting out the parts. They appreciated the verbal wit. They got kind of validated for, their talents by the adult world. But I wanted to ask, you know, whatever happened to Shemp in our memories of the Stooges? Shemp was actually doing sort of the Curly role in this. You know, we'd have Mo saying, I'm Halliday, Larry saying, I'm Faraday, and then Shemp, I'm St. Patrick's Day, you know, like that. So I know nobody can really match Curly Howard, but I think Shemp with his rubber face, he really had a certain talent that couldn't be matched.
I'm a big Shemp fan. I think Shemp's sensational. Unfortunately, Curly trumps a Shemp. We thought about this, but Shemp is he's close second to Curly. He really was
He was
awesome.
The older brother, right? Mo and Curly's older brother, Shemp. After Curly got sick, he stepped in.
Well, originally it was Shemp when they were on vaudeville. Okay. It started with Ted Healy and his Three Stooges, and Shemp was the guy. But Shemp didn't like getting hit. And on vaudeville, they did eight shows a week, and they had to get hit so the guy in the last row could hear it. So they were getting hammered.
Yeah.
And Shemp didn't like that. And then Curly took over. And then Curly, had health issues. Early he started having strokes. And so Shemp came back, and Shemp was an awesome replacement. He was great. We did talk about it, but when you do the first Stooge movie, it's got to be Mo, Larry, Curly.
As Dennis Lim describes it, Mo with his mood swings, an undercurrent of simmering rage, Larry with his goggle eyes and frizzy mop of yankable hair, Curly with his trilling falsetto and subverbal yelps and nyuk-nyuks. And there you've got the Three Stooges. Did I hear you say, Peter, that you're doing Dumb and Dumber 2 after this one? Is that your next?
That is the next thing we're doing. We've never done a sequel, and we've had opportunities. We could have done There's Something Else About Mary, and we could have done other things, but it didn't seem natural. You know, Mary, the story ends, and it's over. To do the sequel to that seemed like a money grab, and we didn't want to do it. We wanted to move on, do new things. However, we always wanted to do a sequel to Dumb and Dumber because it's the perfect sequel movie. You left them exactly where they started off, and you could do it all over again. But until recently, Jim wasn't ready. He was on doing other things, and then in the last year or so, he said, "We got to do another one of these guys. Let's do it." So we're doing it.
So back it comes. And what about you, the Farrelly brothers, Peter and Bobby? Have you got any of that Three Stooges brotherly relationship, bonk, bonk, eye gouge, you know, belly bump, and the rest?
Well, like most brothers who grew up, like we grew up in the same bedroom, you know, and we're a year apart. We, as kids, we would beat the hell out of each other. And until we were about 12 years old and it started to hurt. And then we said, okay, this is over. No more fighting. Yeah. And now, you know, my brother and I were always like, sort of like twins in that we always had the same friends. He didn't have his friends, but I had mine. We hung with the same group in Cumberland, Rhode Island. We had great friends, and we had great laughs, and we had people around us who were funny. And we've always been extremely close. And, you know, I'm blessed to have a brother who I could work with for all these years and still get a huge kick out of.
Well, a good thing that you stopped the bonking when you were 12 years old.
And yeah.
Maybe that's part of the recipe. Oh, the Farrelly brothers out with their The Three Stooges. It is in theaters around the country as of today. Peter Farrelly has joined us from New York, and it's been just great. Peter, you're very kind to do it, and we love talking with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Tom, I love this. Is there any way we go another hour?
Yeah, sure. No, nothing to it. We just got to find another hour. Bring out a Three Stooges clock, and we'll hit it with a hammer. Maybe that'll work.
Thanks a lot.
Peter Farrelly, thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Listeners, thanks for joining us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.